Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of the Real Soul Family episode. Shit.
Season 1, episode 4.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Real Soul Family podcast. We are on episode 4 of season 1. And we've got a special guest with us, but let's introduce ourselves first. I am Sneakers John.
I am not Leon Avery.
And I am JP Kicks.
And I was saying, I do really love the irony of your name. What is that about?
It's someone else has got the handle Leon Avery, so I'm not Leon Avery.
You're just trolling him.
It's a deep connection on how you're not portrayed, how you are on social media. It's not the real.
Wow, there's
you.
Levels.
No, it's fucking brilliant.
There's levels.
I would like my handle back, though, Leon Avery, please.
But more importantly, we have Emil with us of Soul Seekers.
Thank you very much.
And very much appreciate you coming on. You're a friend of mine.
Definitely.
And a friend of the family. You've shown us some love in the past, which I do really appreciate.
Of course. No, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it. I like what you guys are doing. So when I was invited on, I'd be like, cool.
Actually, you're our first guest.
Yay!
Officially.
Yeah.
Whoa, amazing. Yeah. I just realised that. We wanted to get you on because some people haven't seen the film, Jamie.
Yeah, why? Why haven't some people seen the film?
I've got no excuses.
Hands up.
He was brief.
Hands
well
up.
In advance.
Hands up. No well excuses. I will be watching it tonight.
I mean, you will after you've heard about the film, you want to watch it.
Of course. And I know a little bit about the film. I've done a little bit of research. So I'm not in the dark, as they say.
It's only like £3 to rent on Google Play. Come on, James.
It's not about the money.
Or iTunes or Amazon
Plus. It's about the time.
But yeah, let's just talk about how the film came about, and then we'll kind of get onto it after that.
Okay, just a brief history. The film came about because of my love of trainers / sneakers. I'm old, so I still call them trainers. And it's literally, there was nothing that actually cemented what the UK did. We know about America, we know about Japan, but there was nothing that told our unique story. So I wanted to put something down as a legacy of something that we've done, that we've transpired, that we've built, and I wanted to put that on film, and I wanted to put it out there. So that's why Soul Seekers came about.
I guess one of the things that you have said is that if you didn't do it, you know, a Nike or an Adidas would have
definitely
come along,
100%.
Or a store would have come along and claimed that, you know, they led the culture,
literally,
and that's what the case.
Yeah, exactly, and it would be brand-led, and it would just be biased, and it'd just be an advert as opposed to a true cultural story.
Actually, one of the questions I've been meaning to ask you for a couple of years now is, how did you decide who to get into that first film?
Do you know what? Some of them was my decision, some wasn't, because basically, I approached everybody. The people you didn't see in it are the people that said no, basically, or didn't turn up, or were like, don't want to do it, or whatever. I spoke to every single person that would listen to me on the scene. So that's how it went. And some of it was down to time issues. Some of them were like bang on it. Then they went away for their babies, they had families, yeah. They had all this other stuff that come along. So, yeah.
And so you're following up now with the Soul Seekers 2?
Yes.
And what's with that film?
That's going to be a TV series.
Okay.
Oh, so, yeah.
Amazing.
Watch this space. That's, we're sorting
I think
that
you might
out
have
now.
Heard this here first, because I didn't know it was going to be a TV series.
I wasn't aware of this.
I had no idea. This is interesting. Tell us more.
Not yet. You'll have to find out like everyone else.
What I did want to ask, because
yeah.
I've seen you at a few events now,
yeah,
and you've always been filming.
Yeah.
Is this sort of stuff you've been filming, are we going to be expecting that?
Some of it is. Some of it is. Some of it is. I just enjoy creating content. Mm. And some of it will go in the film. Some of it will be part of Soul Seekers 2. Some of it will be part of some other projects that we're doing as well.
I mean, one of the other things we have in common is we're both journalists.
Yes.
And how has that kind of informed your journey into looking into the sneaker world and sharing, you know, your perspective, but getting other people's stories told?
It's very interesting, actually, because you realise the disparity between, like, passion, purpose and profit. Basically, Soul Seekers is broken up into three things: collectors, inspectors and respecters. But you find that the people actually, some of the people that drive, quote unquote, the culture, aren't interested in any of that. And you get this kind of disparative look across the whole three. There's some people that just love trainers. They just love everything. There's people that love the attention that trainers bring to them. And there's other people that are just trying to promote their platforms, and they've decided to add trainers because that's a de rigueur, de facto thing to do. So it's a bit of a love and hate thing. Sometimes there are days when I wake up and I'm like, I just forget all this. forget it all. But there's other days when you truly get the passion ignited. Like, for instance, the Drop of the Year Awards reminded me why we do this, why we're involved, and why we love it so much. So,
I mean, yeah, I was there on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'd love that you and Franklin are working together on that as well now. But I was reflecting on Drop of the Year Awards. Before that, we didn't really have anything like that.
To be fair, no.
Well, we could all come together and really talk about the shoes, not just in forums or in our own groups.
It's
but
just a lot of bickering.
Yeah.
You know. Do you know what? To be fair, there was, but it was kind of elitist because before the drop of the year, you had things like Crooked Tongues and they would have their barbecues and stuff like that. Yeah. But you literally would have to know, like you'd have to do a special handshake, hop on one leg, speak to certain people. You'd literally have to be invited into that fold. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's a rite of passage. Like, look at your feet. Yeah, you have to wear some obscure shoes that only four of them were made.
Japan
and all
exclusive.
This stuff. Yeah, and all that stuff. And you had to know the brother. You had to say the brother's name in Japanese and all that kind of stuff. So it was there, but it wasn't as widespread. Because to be fair, it was a different kind of culture. It was kind of split into two. You had the elitists and you had people that just loved shoes. But now there's a little bit more, obviously, because of globalization, because of social media, there's just a merge of the two.
I was going to say, surely Instagram has changed the culture, right?
100%.
Because I'm old school like you, and we didn't have Instagram growing up, so it was completely different back then. And I've kind of got myself into the Real Soul family and met all these people kind of through Instagram, basically.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. It's literally, it's the same. If you even take it back to the Crooked Tongues forum, that's all those. That's how all those guys met.
Soul Collector.
Yeah, exactly. And they literally would talk to each other online, take half an hour to upload a picture and stuff like that because they just were so interested. They just wanted to know so much. And obviously, as technology got better, it just grew and grew and grew.
And what, in the process of, you know, you shot a lot of what was in the Soul Seekers film in 2014, 2015.
Yeah.
And it took a process to get that actually out. Yeah. What changed in that time that you felt you would have liked to have captured in the film?
Everything's changed, to be fair. The technology aspect, because obviously there's the whole influx of StockX, and with StockX has brought a mainstream attention, because when you realise how much money's in it, that's when everyone's interested. No one's interested in shoes, they're interested in the money that's generated. So there's all of that. Like, we've seen the BBC and they've come to us as like, did you know you can get a lot of money from reselling shoes? Yeah, alright, okay.
That appeals at most to sort of the casual audience, right?
Yeah, definitely, because it's something you can relate to. If you want to make more money from something that's in your wardrobe, that's
it's a way that kids explain it to their parents.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not buying shoes, you know, I'm not spending all of your money on your credit card for this reason. It's an investment.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what I told my mum. And I'd be like, do you know how much they're worth? And then, but I would never sell them. But it at least made it seem like I was saving money.
Yeah. No, I had the same thing. My mum saw the film, she was like, now she understands why she's got all these shoes in her house. Do you see what I mean?
Now, one of the things actually I used to get away with, because my mum really, like, she's big into fragrances.
Okay.
And as soon as I got home, she went, another shoe. And I'd be like, smell them. And she'd just go, okay, yeah, you're
the
right.
The glue on that.
Yeah, there's something about the smell of shoes. I'm going to start a fetish thing now. I'm not
like
into fetishes. Let me just say that. I do not have a fetish.
Can I just basically explain how he's going to smell your feet when he sees you?
No, fresh shoes only.
Sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I know you don't want to go too much into what the new Soul Seekers project is, but I guess, like I said, what have you learned from putting out that first film that kind of is informing what you're doing now?
Basically, I've learned a different approach, and I've learned that passion and love and fervor is just not enough. If you want to push, you need, like, for instance, brand input. And it's very, very difficult. When you're not promoting one particular brand, that's when you find you get pushback from the manufacturers. Nike can't get involved because Adidas is in it. Adidas won't get involved because Reebok's in it, etc., etc. So you've got to try and find a common platform and a common ground where you can get your story across. So that was the hardest thing I found as well, trying to do it all. And then dealing with cinemas as well, that's a whole different level.
The distribution.
The local cinema network is not here to help you, do you know what I mean? You take a film there, they want 70% of your money, between 60 and 70% of your money. They want to charge you £5 for popcorn, to see what I mean? It's like, they are literally stifling the independent film market, which is why they're going to digital platforms and VOD, because it's just more profitable for everybody else. So.
Sorry, go for it.
Have you seen My Name is Dolomite?
I was just about to mention that.
Yeah.
Can you empathise with anything
from that? 1,000,000%.
Really?
Okay. 1,000,000%. Because at the end of the day, he had to do his own thing. Because I spoke to people about Soul Seekers and I was like, oh yeah, it's a great idea. Let's be honest, I get my ideas ripped off once a month, every month. I got this big deck and I went round to everyone and said, I want to do this, I want to do that. And they're like, oh, we don't really see the appeal.
Yeah.
And then you see other people do it and they execute it badly. And you're like,
Yeah, right. But it wasn't their idea.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, all right, I'm stopped giving you stuff for free and I'm just going to do it myself.
Just do it yourself. Just go like, on with it.
One thing that I believe in, again, one thing that Franklin King Trainers, big him up, right, bro.
That's my boy.
Literally, we believe in is you have to do it yourself. When you do it yourself, that's when other people take notice. If you wait on a brand, if you wait on anyone else to do it, you just won't get it done. You literally just have to go out and do it yourself.
That's with everything in life, right?
Exactly. Which is why you guys are here. If you waited for Spotify or someone to say, hey, come and do a podcast, you'd still be waiting. But you're like, you came and did your own podcast.
I mean, so. Yeah, I mean, it's also a good point to say, Jamie actually introduced us to LaunchPod. And we dabbled with doing discussions before. But it was one of those things where once Jamie said, we've got this space, we were like, let's just do it. Booked it straight away, had the conversation. Afternoon.
But that's what I loved about it. Yeah. You know, I put a little thing on Instagram, you got in touch with me, a week later we're sitting here.
It was like 20 minutes old, right?
Literally.
But I saw it on your story and I just went, Jamie, put me on.
Yeah, and that was it. And it was great because right. It was the passion I had for this whole thing. And the sneakers and you guys, and we're here today, and it's great.
Yeah, you know what? I've got big up Launchpad Studios for helping us in here as well. So, yeah, so big shout to them.
Course, very lovely space.
Yeah.
He's sitting over there, he's smiling.
Yeah. All right, bruv.
He is actually going to pay us later. Hashtag spawn. Yeah. But yeah, I was going to say, from what you saw at Drop of the Year Awards, what was your takeaway from that event?
That there is still passion in the scene. It may sound controversial, but I feel that sometimes sneakerheads take themselves way too serious. Way too absolutely. Seriously.
I clearly it's don't.
Way, it's way too seriously. Yeah. First, like, by the way, can you zoom in? He's wearing a Mutant Ninja Turtle t-shirt.
And hat.
And hat.
The full TMNT.
There you go. There you go.
That's just our John, though.
The first thing I did when Emil, when he pulled up, I opened the door and he's like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I met my
I
own real life.
Station.
Yeah. Did my own real life hero episodes? And a half shell. Do you know what I mean?
You see him in the other episodes.
Oh, no, there's. How can you put it? Flamboyant.
Hang on, John's hat is famous, right?
Yeah. It was the number one piece of feedback we got was like, where was his hat from?
Nice.
And where is your hat from?
Oh, by the way, guys, I think you should put in the comments what hat you want John to wear next week as well. I think that needs to be in the comments.
I like that.
We can make it a thing.
Yeah.
That hat's from actually like 2008 from a store called Upper Playground.
Okay.
I was like I spent a lot of time in Carnaby Street. That's how I met Magdi from Simon Kitts.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, again, that whole kind of mid-2000s time was a very interesting time for sneakers in general.
Yeah.
You know, what was, at that time, where were you at? And, like, how did that get you to hit?
Basically, one of my loves is travel. So I travel a lot. And one of the things that I'd really look forward to more than anything is you'd go to New York and you'd buy as many trainers as many. I would go with no luggage,
empty
come back
suitcase.
With two bags. Yeah, two cases.
Standard.
And then, that's when the dollar was good, though.
Yeah, exactly. You got two for one.
Still.
You go and you go in the shop and you're like, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like, what's like all of it? You want all of it. And for instance, Nike boxes folded down, Adidas boxes didn't. So you're like, right, I can only get 4 pairs of Adidas, but I can get 5 pairs of Nike. So I can wrap the tissue and I can flatten the boxes and I can do this and I can
wear
do
a bear.
That. Yeah, exactly. So literally in your pocket, as many as you can get. And I love that. And that's kind of one of the sad things about nowadays. Due to globalization, like you'll go anywhere in the world. I just come back. No, last year I went to Hong Kong and they've got a place called Sneaker Street. And it's a whole block of sneaker stores.
Sounds like heaven.
Right. It sounds like heaven.
I've seen it on some YouTube
Yeah,
videos.
But when you get there, it's the same shoes in all. Imagine there's maybe 28 to 30 sneaker stores and they've all got the same shoes in there. All the
With
same
that in
shoes.
Mind, how do you then feel about a lot of these sort of Asia exclusive releases that have been coming out? I know we've got, there's one in New York at the minute, the Chinatown Air Max 1s.
Yeah.
They're New York exclusive. And then we've got the MX1s for Chinese New Year this year, which is today as we're filming it. That's an Asia exclusive.
Yeah.
And then you've got Australia exclusive MX1s going on. I think we've got one on the shelf.
Yeah, you got the DNA there.
Yes.
And I've got the Screen Green, which I absolutely love.
Yeah. So
those
I mean,
are beautiful.
It's still globalised. It's still really easy to get a hold of them. You just got to pay for it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No, it's totally globalised. Yeah, because at the end of the day, like you, it literally goes even deeper than that. Are we collectors still, or are we people that just don't have enough money to go and buy them from resale? Think about it. Before you can now, you can buy any shoe that was ever released to a certain extent, anytime you want.
If you got the money,
you can go and buy any shoe.
Yeah,
yeah. Literally, even if you don't have the connections, you go on StockX. Someone would have sold one somewhere.
Yeah.
So this might be a good opportunity. to get your, see how you feel about this. I've decided in 2020, I'm not buying.
Oh, here we go again.
No one believes me. I'm not buying any sneakers in 2020.
Okay.
The whole year.
Rewind to the other episode where you said you were waiting on the court purple Jordan 1s
to
come
out
this year. You are not.
No, because to the point that you just said, I'll be able to buy them in 10 years DS.
Yeah, for so much more.
But you can always buy them. The point is, you're not going to miss anything anymore. I can go a whole year and buy nothing and pick up the court purples this time next year. It'll be no, I'll pay £100 more. Probably people would be bored of Air Jordan 1s. The hype would have died down. And I'll get them for a decent price. So I just wanted to challenge myself to see if I could. Kind of to the point that you were saying, because are we collectors anymore? I've got shoes from 2004, 2003, 2005 that I haven't even taken out of a box.
Yep, same.
So why am I buying new trainers anymore? Like, I'm not massively into consumerism.
Yeah, but that's the addiction, right?
And I'm trying to get
but
myself
this is a whole
free.
Thing.
That's the
this
problem.
Is literally a whole thing. There is a battle every day. Like, for me, I look at myself as a social advocate, and I look at myself as someone who's not a consumer, but we are uber ultra consumers. Think about it. You're a brand, you've got a shoe. The shoe doesn't have to actually be nice, be great, look that great. If they pump that image at you for 9 months, that shoe's guaranteed to sell out. How many times have you seen it? I don't like those. They're all right. Oh my God, the Oxfords are great. I want these. Yeah. I need these in my life. Sometimes you're like, no, they're just terrible. I'll give you an example. I hate Yeezys. I hate all of them. I don't like them.
Same.
I'm not interested in any of them, no matter what shoe brings out, just knowing it. And they seem to have got detractingly worse, and people still like lapping them up, right? He still has that sway in the sneaker community and in the outside world. And you're like, fine, do what you do. But it's almost like you're vilified for liking what you like.
Yeah.
And the brands play on this, and they literally pump you with shoes. There are shoes out every single week. And you have to look at it.
I'd
not
say
nice.
Every other day these days.
And then even when you go on the sneakers app, right? When you look at the sneakers app, probably every 10 or 12 shoe that they release, you're interested in. Mm-hmm. You go on the sneakers app, that everything from November is still on there, still in your size, because they're horrible, terrible shoes. And then even Nike, what they've done is they've taken the stuff from GR and they put it on the sneakers app, thinking that because it's on the sneakers, you're going to buy it. And you're like, you're not going to buy it.
No.
It's terrible.
And clothing do a lot of that as well. Where the raffle pairs that you can still find on the shelves like two weeks later. And I was like, how the fuck did I lose this raffle?
And S&S are doing it.
Yeah, no.
I saw they had the Air Max 90s on S&S on a raffle the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, you can buy them now.
No, that's the thing. And like that's a GR shoe. And the new 90s that come out, I'm not really overly impressed. When I was young, not even the shape, just the colours. I'm like, they're okay. They're okay.
The material let me down a bit, because I expected to see this lovely sort of suede shoe, and I feel it, and it just fit. It's felt. Right?
It is basically we've been sucked in. They are GR shoes, and they've been sucked in.
They are
like
nice.
We've been sucked in. We've been sucked in.
I will say they are nice.
This is another reason why I don't want to buy anything in 2020, because I feel like people have been bigging up the dunk, building up the hype, and as everyone knows, I'm a dunkhead. I feel like they've been building up the hype so they can palm off people with a lot of low grade stuff, bad quality stuff, get them all buying it. People will suck it up, and I don't want to get caught in that trap. Like I've acknowledged, looking at my collection from last year, I spent just under £6,000 on trainers, and I'm not proud of saying that because I don't even have savings in the bank. That's ridiculous.
Most people won't even add that up.
I had to, because I feel like the only way to get myself off that, out of that cycle of I've got to buy the next pair just so I can flex on Instagram. I don't want to keep feeding that habit. So I thought, let me look at what I've got. Let me count every single purchase. And it's just under £6,000.
It's funny you should say that. I need savings. That's something that we discuss in Soul Seekers too. It's the psychology of purchasing. In Soul Seekers, there was a retail psychologist in there. And we sat down and she literally drilled me through how these things are sold. Where you literally, they invent FOMO for you. You will miss out. You are unworthy if you don't own these shoes. Who are you? Who are you? Because basically, it comes from the street. When we were younger, look at your trainers. You're like, all right. And men will come up to you like, where'd you get them from, bro? I got them from here. It's easy. Oh, yeah, they're all right. You know? Yeah. And then you had to be like, you had 10 seconds. Is he going to try and take them? So you're like, all right, cool. Because that's what I mean. When I was younger, it's wild. People walked home in bare feet and all that kind of... And you're like, I'm not having that.
But I mean, even the funniest thing about that whole, where did you get them from?
Yeah.
I used to lie and say I got them from America just so that they wouldn't go to JD Sports.
Yeah, of course.
And find them. You want to be an individual. And I feel a lot of that has sort of been lost.
No,
over
definitely.
The last 5 years or so.
I'll give you an example. Sarah, Mighty Boosh, amazing female collector. She told me a story once where someone asked her where she got her shoes from, and she lied and she said Nike made them exclusively for her because she was an Olympic athlete, and that's what they did.
Yeah, love that.
And rather than just say, yeah, I got them from like Champion Sports or whatever,
So that's harsh.
That's
Like the need to impress is real. Like it people is. Really do feel like, even speaking to Chelsea TRSF.
Chelsea Dawn, not Chelsea the football team.
No, Chelsea Dawn. Yeah, speaking to the whole football club at Chelsea. Chelsea Dawn, one of the TRSF family members, Soul Sisters. But yeah, she was saying sometimes she feels like she has to buy certain shoes to do a look to post a picture. Like, because she's a really stylish lady, but she feels, you know, if her Instagram hasn't been updated regularly, she's like, I got to buy a new pair so I can put another look together. And she's caught in that trap.
I think that is probably the majority of people on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's how you translate that. And that's, again, we look at that in Soul Seekers too. How do you make the transition from lots of pretty pictures to actually having money? Right? There are various ways to do it. For instance, Instagram, and what I've noticed is the brands build into micro-influencers. You can only have 3,000 followers or 2,000 followers. But if you've got like 50, 60% engagement, they're on you because you've actually got an audience that you can sell straight to.
It does surprise me how wide a net some of these brands cast. Like, I know people who have like 3,000 followers, right?
Yeah.
And they're getting sent free shoes.
Yeah.
I'm just going, how much money do these companies have just to keep throwing?
But like, what you have to remember as well, that's the thing as well. What you have to remember is these brands have millions to spend on marketing. Mm. And this is another thing that we cover. Basically, us, when does it go from being us celebrating our culture to free marketing for brands?
Yeah.
Like, not only are you buying their stuff, you're not getting it for free, you're spending your time, energy, effort, hanging out of helicopters.
Creating content.
Do you know what I mean? Organising photo shoots and that to show off these shoes that you own, that you've had to pay for.
Mm.
And then they're like, oh, great, we'll regram this. And you're like, oh, cool, Nike's noticed me. Of course they have, because they've got free stuff.
I mean, I had Nike DM me about a shot that I did with an Air Max 270.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, this is a great shot if you're happy for us to use this. I'm like, but you could have paid me.
No, you licensed
to shoot
that.
This for you. You would never.
Yeah, exactly. Or don't even pay me. Let me shoot the next stuff.
So I literally said, I messaged them back and said, look, guys, I really appreciate the love, but unless we're talking about doing a shoot, I'm a photographer.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about doing a shoot.
That's your bread and butter.
But
so why are you going to give that away?
I'm going to say this now, Nike, you aired me. So next time you come back, the bill's going to be a lot higher, is all I'm saying.
But the thing is, right, and that's tied into Instagram as well, how many posts a day is Nike tagged in? How many potential promo material posts do they get tagged in? Like, how many? Like, thousand,
millions,
10,
tens, if not millions.
Yeah, if not millions, probably millions.
A day, worldwide,
literally,
just America alone.
Yeah, literally millions.
How many people are sitting on the ends of those Nike Instagram accounts replying to people?
Yeah.
They must have a whole office, thousands and
just
thousands of people.
Yeah, literally.
Mm.
So yeah, I think it's a good point about the free marketing thing.
Definitely.
It's crazy.
So, and that's what we do, and that's where we've been conditioned. And you're right. If you don't buy shoes, you get FOMO. If you don't buy shoes, you have no status. You are no longer a proper person. You are no longer relevant.
You don't mean
anything. But obviously, that's not true.
Yeah.
But that's what this kind of microcosm has created.
But another thing I realized as well, if you're caught in that trap of buying new things every week because you want to be seen with the latest, I realized people are doing that to flex.
Yeah.
But I can flex much harder with stuff that you didn't even know about.
This is it.
Because I've still got shoes like my De La Soul, all whites. Yeah. They're from 2005.
Mm. Mm.
No one's got those DS. I can wear those tomorrow and people are like, where did you get those from?
I remember wearing the Dunks to the Real Soul
Family controversial.
Barbecue. Okay. And they were Deadstock at the time, were they?
That was the first time I ever wore them.
And Deadstocks them. And he just goes around showing people, like, oh, this shoe is what, $5,000, really? Like,
it might have been six that day. He's counting. The thing I was most paranoid about was, one, someone trying to, like, get me drunk enough to fall asleep and taking them from me, or getting barbecue sauce on them.
Yeah,
but I mean, the point being is that you can wear older stuff, and it's not where did you get them from, it's when did you get those from.
Mm.
Like, that for me is more valuable. And like I said, I've had it sitting in a box. Why buy something new when I could actually just wear what I have?
And then also, you have to remember, fundamentally, it has to be enjoyable. You have to, like, enjoy buying shoes. You have to enjoy wearing shoes. And you have to basically enjoy being part of this. And what you've done is you've created a movement, you've created a set of people that have come together for the love of shoes from various backgrounds, everything. So you basically, that's where the culture lies for me. And again, going right back is why I made the film, because these are the things that need to be celebrated as opposed to just shoes that are made by a manufacturer. Because you have to ask, all of us, you literally, how many of us have got Nike or Adidas shares? Like, literally nobody. I know about four people that have. Yeah. So why not? You spend, like, again, 6K straight.
We are practically investors. Just no, without the dividends.
No, we're consumers. We're not investors.
We're consumers.
Yeah.
But like you said, the difference is that story, right?
Yeah.
And I think for the older generation of us who are collectors, it's all about the story behind each shoe.
Yeah.
You know, when we've copped that shoe, have we lined up? Have we camped out overnight? There's a story.
Yeah.
I think me and you speaking, you know, we can pick up our shoes and there's that story to tell someone behind that shoe.
Mm. And then also, you have to remember that the culture's changed. Like, that's one part. And you've got other people coming up, don't really care about the story. They care about how it makes them feel and how much money they can get from it and how the money they get from it makes them feel. But do you disclude them from the culture? No, because they're part of it. They buy into this consumerism. So therefore, because I know a guy, he's supposed to be in a film. He bought Eminem, Jordan 4s, he bought some other stuff. He sold them and he bought a house.
Jesus.
His missus was like, we need a house. He said, I've got an idea. And he bought these shoes. And the thing is, he bought them resale and sold them more. I think he bought the M&M's for 4, sold them for 8, stuff like that. And he took all that money and he bought a flat. So,
can you knock someone for that? No, I don't think so. Of course not, exactly.
Of course not. No. So why wouldn't you? To provide a home for his wife and child. Like,
it's like any other buying and selling stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's people that want it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I would never sell my shoes. No. I love them too much.
And I think one of the reasons that the Real Soul Family came about was because we had this sort of this shared love for it, that we wanted to be able to keep it in the family, so to speak. We want people to be able to actually wear the stuff that they want to wear.
Absolutely.
And I think it's quite a good thing that we've created. But there is that whole other side of it, which is the larger. I think we live a bit in a bubble. Whereas, you know, there's the real world out there where people can't get half the shoes that we've got on this table. Mm. And even if they have the money, sometimes people just can't find the people. What I've found out recently, I've just from buying a lot of shoes, is like all these collectors have the really old stuff and they don't even put it up for sale. They just like message their friends about it now. Like I bought like 3 pairs earlier this month. Just because the guy was just like, oh, I've got all these rare stuff you've wanted for ages but never seen before. I'm just doing a clear out. Do you want to buy it? And then the next day I had them. And it's just like, I couldn't believe that this is something that...
But I mean, for me, I like that almost, it's almost a fight back against that, you know, the resale and the high ticket where people, I know someone genuinely wants something. If I'm not going for it, then, you know, I'll put my name in a raffle for them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll go on the sneakers app, even if I'm not buying it, just because I know I can help someone else pick that up for retail.
Sure.
You know, that makes me feel good. Someone really appreciates that. You know, like, again, I mentioned Ben before, SB Kicks.
Yeah.
SB to the Future. You know, he helped me buy some shoes that sold out in seconds, and he knew how much I wanted them. Mm. And he entered the raffle for me, and that meant he can't buy them. But that's just someone else showing some love because he's seen I want something a bit more than he did. Mm. And, you know, people have been doing that with the clots because they were selling in Hong Kong, chopping at 4 a.m. in the morning.
Mm.
Not everyone's able to buy them or has any chance of doing that.
Yeah.
But we're helping each other out. And I think that is something that...
But that's the community thing, right?
Exactly.
What I wanted to come back to, it's a bit from before, but about distribution.
Yes.
So I think towards the end of Soul Seekers 1, it kind of left on this cliffhanger where you wanted to end up talking a bit more about future distribution methods, and obviously with very topical, we got some Brexit stuff coming up.
Okay.
So
what is Brexit exactly?
Oh, no, don't ask me that. No,
so it's a new breakfast cereal.
It was more so around that. Will distribution methods or anything like that be touched on in Soul Seekers 2? We've got Nike's decision to stop shipping outside of the EU.
Yeah, because to be fair, Nike's decision came from their old DTC, their direct-to-consumer policy. Because to be fair, half the stores, like your Finish Lines and stuff like that, you can't actually buy anyway. Like if you try and access it from England, they'll say you can't buy Nike products, full stop.
Yeah.
Not the shoes, not the apparel, not anything. So because the way, right, I'm going to be really, really summarised about this. Right, you got a pair of shoes. Your average pair of shoes is... Like, it's $100. You divide that up. It costs anywhere between, depending on the shoe, it costs anywhere between $8 and $15 to make.
Mm.
Then it costs $2-$3 to ship and insurance. They put them on ships. These trainers fall off they fall, stuff falls off ships all the time. You got to get the money back. That's insured. You get a landing cost. And so Nike then sells it. When it gets here, they sell it to like Foot Locker or whatever for like the shoe, $25, sell it for $50, right? Then Foot Locker take it and sell it to you for $100.
Yeah.
So basically what Nike want to do is take that same $50. Rather than making $25 profit, they can make $75 profit by sending the same shoes for £100 direct through their own consumer network. So that's what they're going to do. So that's literally why. It's not a case of they're like, you know what I mean, they don't want the brand. They just don't care. They want to make as much money as possible.
Oh, yeah,
so,
and that's going to hurt a lot of stores.
It is, but they don't care. They're gonna, because of us, they're going to sell the same amount of shoes anyway or more.
What I found really interesting, which happened very recently, so we've got those Air Max 90s, the 2020 Air Max 90s that have just come out.
The Recraft, right?
Yeah, so I mean, they release on the 30th, so today it's the 25th.
Yeah.
But last week, Nike drops them.
Yeah.
Members only access. They've probably sold most of the stock that they were going to sell. All these other retailers are kind of like left in the dust. They were originally meant to release on the 9th. They push it back. Nike sells it before everyone else.
To be honest, they're like, I don't think it's going to be an issue getting them. They're just going to pump those out. Yeah. It reminds me of the Black Huarache. I remember when everyone queued up to get the Black Huarache, and a guy goes, "We sold out." And the dude goes, "When are you going to get more?" And he's like, "Tomorrow, bruv. We're getting them every week for 6 months."
And unfortunately, what you learn with these is you know what kind of goes inside and doesn't.
Yeah.
And I do want the 90s.
What you have to remember,
but I now know they're going to go inside in
2-3 weeks. Is, what you have to remember, maybe between 50 and 60% of Nike's product on their book goes on sale.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? I feel sorry for people that pay full price for Tailwinds and all that stuff. Nearly, literally, you'll get maybe 10 or 15 pairs of shoes that will sell out immediately, some that will stay at retail, and the rest will literally go on sale. Because Nike, like the if you're a sneaker boutique, there is no benefit in holding stock. You want your stock room empty at any retailer all the time. So you can buy more and sell more. Yeah. The more you buy, the cheaper the brands will sell it to you for. The more you sell, the more money you make. So it's
crazy
simple
nowadays.
As that.
If a retailer has stock of something after like 2 weeks, it's on sale.
Yeah, literally.
And it will go hot literally.
Because think about ridiculous. It. There's gonna be by the time they've gone through the cycle of that shoes, there's gonna be another maybe 10 or 20 shoes that have been released in that time.
And then you've got Twitter accounts like Sneaker Deals GB now, which is great because it just throws everything out
literally,
every day.
And they post every day. They've 10, got a 20 different
posts
shoes.
A day.
Well, that's it, and think about it, like, and that's all the brands. That's Reebok, Adidas, Diadora, all the brands. They're all on sale because literally, there's only so much you can consume, and we all look at the high end stuff, but the real money is in the other stuff. Because think about it, I'm gonna wrap this up really quickly. I've got an issue with Yeezy. Yeezy records is worth 1.5 billion, right? If he only puts out the maths don't add up. If he only puts out X amount of shoes, all the runs are limited. And you have to remember the RRP is the RRP. So, like, you can only count it up to 250. Then it's only going to make X amount of money.
Was that valuation not based off of the cream whites that they supposedly made 1 million pairs?
Maybe. Yeah. But even if they did, right, if they made 1 million pairs of those cream whites, how many Air Force Ones did they make in that same period? How many did they sell? And white Air Force, not discount every other colour that ever existed.
And I mean, they've been making those long enough that the cost per shoe is probably... so minimal.
I think it's minimal.
The profit margin on that shoe must be insane.
Exactly.
I reckon it probably cost $5 to make an Air Force One.
Yeah, and then if you notice, there's increment. They're 85 quid. What?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They were 30, 40 quid when I was.
And they keep going up and up.
In the 80s.
But yeah, that concludes episode 4. Emil, thank you so much for coming on.
No, guys,
this
thank you very much thank for having you. Me. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you.
And guys, like we said, if you want to have a comment or have any additional views on what we said here, please hit the comment section below. But subscribe. Make sure you tell your friends about the Real Soul Family. We're also on Instagram.
Smash the like button.
Yeah, smash that like button. And check out Not Leon Avery, Soul Seekers Film. Actually, tell them where you can see any more about the film. And Soul
just
Seekers
about too. To do that. You can catch Soul Seekers on Amazon Prime, iTunes and Google Play. So just search Soul Seekers, you'll find that. And check out my Instagram at Soul Seekers Film for more stuff about Soul Seekers too.
I'm Sneakers John and
JP Kicks. Thanks for watching.
Cheers.
Thank you.